Back here on Downtown Tuesday afternoon basketball talk. Coming up next, we turn to our friend John Corrales from Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics. A good Tuesday afternoon to you, John.
Hey, great. How's it going, man?
Going all right. Getting back at it here and trying to figure out what's next here with about a month to go before camp and the start of basketball. And let's talk about messages. What kind of messages are people like Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart getting from their new coach?
Well, I think that one of the things that Udoka is clearly sending a message of, this is how we're going to play basketball this season. He's been on the radio, he's been talking to the media, and I think it's been pretty clear that when he speaks, he is very much looking for a ball movement type of thing, that the your turn, my turn thing that he saw from the Celtics last year, especially from Tatum and Brown, is just not going to be how this team plays and how this team can win games. Because if they're not playing together, if they're not creating some chaos for the rest of their team, it's just not going to work well. And it makes sense, because not only is it a message to Jaylen and Jason to move the ball, and Marcus Smart, you know, Marcus Smart has to cut down on a lot of those heat check three-pointers, some of those three-pointers that are what we like to call ill-advised. But it's also a function of the rest of this team isn't capable of creating its own shot. Like, these are the only guys that can create as well as, Tatum and Brown are the only guys that can create very well at all. So if the rest of the team isn't going to get openings created by them, they're just not going to get openings. So I think it's a twofold thing when Udoka wants to move the ball, because not only does he want Tatum and Brown to be more dynamic in their roles in the offense, it's to also make sure that the rest of the team has their opportunities to score, so it's not on Tatum and Brown to score 30 points every night.
What about Dennis Schroeder? What are the expectations for him, and what are his expectations?
Well, it's an interesting dynamic there with Schroeder, because it's pretty obvious that he's only here for a year. If he's here longer than a year, then things have gone very poorly, because the most the Celtics can offer him is another portion of their mid-level. And if they're not going to hard cap themselves again next year, they have other players that they hope to spend their money on. So unless he wants to play on basically a small raise based on this year's salary, 120% of this year's salary, or somehow maybe the Celtics can get to the full mid-level, he's looking to get a bigger deal, a longer-term deal somewhere else. He doesn't want to go year by year in Boston. So what's that going to take? He needs playing time. He needs to have time to feature himself, and the Celtics know that that's what he's looking for. So I think there almost has to be like a little bit of a deal between these two guys, but between the Celtics and Schroeder, that the Celtics are going to say, hey, look, man, we'll give you this backup role, which is going to give you exactly what you're looking for, but in exchange, you have to spend 10, 12 minutes on the floor with Marcus Smart and Tatum and Brown, and you can't be disruptive. You can't be going for your own offense while those guys are on the floor. You have to understand that, sure, there will be opportunities here, but you have to play nice with those guys. You have to be a good teammate. There has to be a middle ground here between what the Celtics want and what Schroeder wants. So I think part of the negotiation is coming to that understanding, that Schroeder says, look, man, I got to play for a team. You guys know I'm not going to be here next year. Can you give me the opportunity to do what I want? And the Celtics, in a tough spot, with no way to get someone that good at that price, say, all right, here's the deal. We'll give you this in exchange for this. And hopefully that like little tenuous dynamic can continue for a full season.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown, a very interesting piece of Boston Sports Journal. Judging the work of Brad Stevens and dealing with the trade deadline, and you point out that there have been some very good moves so far, but most of these done in very low-pressure situations.
Yeah, that's one of my questions. So I'm doing a 20 Celtics questions over the rest of this month to get us into the regular season or preseason, which starts in like 4 weeks, which is insane. But Stevens has done a good job, right? I think pretty roundly we can say Stevens has done a good job. And some people will say, okay, but he's only done a few things, and that's all fine. But the question now is, what happens when the regular season comes around? Because he did the deal for Kemba, but low pressure situation, right? The season was over. There weren't a lot of teams talking. This was a deal that it was good for him and his front office to come up with that play the calendar type of thing. But Stevens has benefited from a bunch of circumstances too. Schroeder kind of fell into his lap. Richardson was a circumstance here that no one was going to pay him that money. No one, and the Mavericks really didn't want him at that money. So the Celtics were like, hey, we've got a trade exception. Let's get him. There are other players here that even the Robert Williams extension, the Marcus Smart extension, those were all products of circumstance where the Celtics were in an advantageous position. They took advantage of it. Good for Brad Stevens for doing it. Now when the regular season comes around, trade deadline comes around, and there's a potential deal on the table, and multiple teams are involved in that deal, is Brad Stevens going to be able to handle that pressure, that time constraint? Is his system of doing things going to work in that system? It could, or it might not. Like that's a big question for the Celtics this season. If we're looking at the most important things for this season, that Schroeder relationship, I think, is super important because of how it impacts the whole team. And this situation with Stevens, because of what we know the Celtics need to do to build forward. They either need to get a third star in or build around their two stars, Tatum and Brown. If they're going to do that, it's going to have to be through free agency and trades. They're not going to be able to draft their way into that kind of help. So a lot of those deals get done at the deadline. And Brad has never gone through that. Nice job this summer. Can he deal with the three phones are ringing, I need to make a decision? Because the decision that he makes is something that could either lead the Celtics to a championship or lead the Celtics to a rebuild. These decisions being made this season, next season, are critically important to the success of the Celtics. So I think whether Stevens is able to handle that pressure, the rumors surrounding the team, making sure that the rumors don't infiltrate the locker room, making sure Ime Udoka isn't taken by surprise or bogged down by the distractions of the questions of trade rumors and all that stuff. He's got to handle the entirety of that situation and then execute the right deals.
This is, we talked about this being in some sense a transition season for the Celtics, but how good can they be, John?
Well, you know, the ceiling, the absolute best case scenario, can still be a championship if a few things break right. And they need to have a best case scenario. Chances are that rarely ever happens, almost never. So, assuming some level of missed time, they are still, I think, in the mix for a third or fourth seed. Milwaukee is pretty set. Brooklyn is pretty set. Now we're looking at Philadelphia getting word today from Ben Simmons that, you know what, I'm done. I'm not coming back. Pretty clear that they don't want him back. So something's going to happen with Ben Simmons. How Philly handles that can depend on, can impact what the Celtics finish. Can they be third or fourth? What does Philly, where do they go? How are they impacted by whatever they get back from a Ben Simmons trade? And then you got to see, how good is Miami? How good is Atlanta? Teams that look good on paper and you can or tempted to project out improvements, but there are certainly pitfalls for either of those teams. So the Celtics could finish third. And if they finish third, that's a pretty good spot. Maybe you win a series, maybe two, and then you get yourself into the conference finals. So there is still a very high-end ceiling for this team. There is, at the same time, on the low end, a possibility that the injuries pile up again and they end up in the play-in tournament. So the possibilities are pretty wide for the Celtics. But I still think they'll be a good team.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, the Locked On Celtics podcast. John, appreciate your insight as always. Have yourself a great week, and we'll talk again next Tuesday.
My pleasure. Talk to you then.